All right, we are live. We are good to go. So hope you guys are having a great day. Today, we are going to talk about metabolic phenotypes. So you might be thinking, what in the world is a metabolic phenotype? So we're going to dive into all of that today. We're going to talk about what it is. I'm going to explain it simply so you kind of can really understand it without going too into this kind of scientific jargon and things. And I'm going to talk about how it can impact your fat loss, how it could impact your potential fat gain or weight gain. If you're somebody who's actually trying to put on weight because you tend to be underweight, I'm going to talk about how it could affect that. And just really what it is and any kind of strategies we can use to maybe overcome these difficulties that you might be facing when it comes to your fat loss, depending on what metabolic phenotype you have. So I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this before specifically. I know a couple of videos ago, a couple of podcasts ago, I did an interview with my good friend Kara Goss. We dove into metabolic adaptation. We dove into these metabolic phenotypes a little bit. And I kind of explained briefly what they are, but I didn't really go into detail as to what they are. So that's what this one's going to be all about. And the reason why this is, or why this is even relevant, is because everybody's metabolism, or aka how many calories you burn per day, adjusts and interacts on a daily basis with how much exercise you're doing, what your stress levels are like, sleep, hormones, all of that. But it also adjusts based on how much you're eating, especially calorie-wise. So a lot of people have this misconception, or they think that, okay, like I'm going to plug my numbers into this calculator. It's telling me I burn 2,000 calories a day. So that's how many calories I burn every single day. And obviously people probably know, or if they just thought about it, they would like think, okay, if I exercised more, I'm probably going to burn more calories. Or if I had a very active day, you know, I went to the park, I went for a walk, I did this activity, that activity, I probably burn more calories, right? But the amount of calories that we burn per day is also impacted by how many calories we eat. So if we were to significantly overeat on one day, let's say, you know, you burn 2,000 calories, but you end up having a day where you end up going out to dinner a couple of times, you get dessert, and you end up eating 3,000 calories a day. Your calorie burn on that day will likely be higher than 2,000 simply just from overeating and the metabolic processes that come from eating extra food, your body having more calories, you know, in its system. Will your metabolism adapt all the way up to burning 3,000 so you gain no weight then if your maintenance is typically 2,000? No, it won't adapt that high, but it does adapt somewhat just from you eating more food. The same way if you were to drastically cut calories on one day or to just eat a little bit less, whether it's intentionally, like you're trying to go into a fat loss phase, or it's unintentionally, if you eat less than what you burn, your metabolism, these metabolic processes, adapt somewhat too, and they can slow down a little bit. So you burn a little bit less calories. So if let's say you typically on average burn 2,000, but you end up eating 1,000 one day, whether it's intentional, which I don't recommend, or maybe it's unintentional, which I don't recommend either, but maybe you just accidentally skipped lunch because you got so busy with work and you came home late, ate a small dinner and went to bed because you were exhausted. Even that, you know, lowering your calories by that much or eating that little will slow down your metabolism a little bit on that day, and you'll burn a little bit less then in the short term. So there's these adaptations, these fluctuations to how many calories we burn based simply off of how much we're eating. And that's where these metabolic phenotypes come into play, because these phenotypes are basically two different categories that people have been placed in based on how much their metabolism adapts when they overeat and how much their metabolism adapts when they undereat. So these metabolic phenotypes, there are essentially two different categories that are kind of coming about in research right now. So the first category is called a thrifty metabolic phenotype, or AKA you having a quote unquote thrifty metabolism. The second category is what's called a quote unquote spendthrift metabolism. And these are the two that have kind of been researched the most. And there's this, you know, theories of how each of these categories, depending on what you fall into, how your metabolism adapts to these scenarios. So our body weight in general is defended to a certain extent. So what I mean by that is our bodies, based on genetics, based on our previous weight history, you know, how much we've weighed in the past and things like that, our environment even. But our body weight kind of likes to stay roughly around a certain level. So it doesn't really like to gain a ton of weight unless, you know, you are exposed to an environment where there's a lot of food and you're really overeating, then it will, obviously. But it doesn't like to. And it doesn't like to lose a lot of weight either. So there's this like range of body weight that your body tries to quote unquote defend or stay in. And it will defend that on the upper end. So like I said, when you overeat a little bit, your calories burned for that day, or, you know, after that overeating period will increase a little bit to kind of make up for that. Not entirely, but it will make up for a little bit of those extra calories. And then same thing on the low end, when you decrease your calories lower, your metabolism will slow down a little bit and kind of make up for some of that, not all of it, but some of it, by decreasing your energy burned or calories burned a little. But how much your metabolism kind of fluctuates up and down based on your intake varies person to person. And a thrifty person, so a person who falls into this category of having a thrifty metabolic phenotype, these people, they tend to have a higher calorie burn at maintenance. So let's say if you were eating around your maintenance calories, and let's say on average you were burning 2,000 calories per day, you would be, let's like hypothetically say you're one of those thrifty people and you burn 2,000 per day. You kind of maintain a relatively higher baseline of burning calories per day than somebody who is in the spendthrift category. So let's say you burn 2,000 calories per day, and the person who is in the spendthrift category, they burn 1,900 calories per day. So you burn around 100 calories more per day, even though you guys have the same activity level, you guys have the same body weight, you have the same body composition, all of that. But the thing with somebody who's in the thrifty category is, even though they at maintenance, so if you're eating at calorie maintenance, you burn around 100 calories more per day, your body adapts a lot more to a decrease in calories than the person in the spendthrift category. So what I mean by that is, let's say, you know, you're burning 2,000 per day and you bring your calories down to 1,500 because you're like, okay, I'm going to try to be in a 500 calorie deficit so I can lose around a pound of fat on average per week. So you bring your calories down to 1500, right? That's what, you know, people online are telling you to do. Take your calorie maintenance, bring it down by 500, and you'll lose a pound of fat per week. But if you are in this thrifty category, your metabolism adapts pretty well to that lower calorie amount. And you, instead of burning 2000 calories per day, you might actually end up burning only, let's say, 1,800 calories per day. So that 500 calorie deficit actually turns out to only be about a 300 calorie deficit. Now, like, these adaptations don't typically completely erase the deficit, but they can make it smaller than what you would predict. And it could make it to where it feels maybe a little frustrating, because you're like, I should be losing 1 pound on average per week, but I'm actually only losing about 0.6 pounds on average per week. Like, why is it slower than what I would expect? And that's one reason, is if you have a thrifty metabolism, or if you fall in this thrifty metabolic phenotype category. Another characteristic of somebody in this thrifty metabolic phenotype category is that while their metabolism adapts really well on the low end, so it will decrease quite a bit if you bring calories down, it doesn't actually increase as much on the high end. So if you have a day where you accidentally overeat and instead of 2,000, you eat 2,300, your metabolism might only increase by, let's say, 50 to 100 calories. So not a whole lot. So you're still eating in a roughly 200 calorie surplus, and then those extra calories may be stored as body fat. So basically you have your baseline and your metabolism will adapt quite a bit on the low end, but on the high end, it maybe only adapts a little bit. Now, going to category two, or the spendthrift category, these people, like I said, their baseline might be slightly lower at 1900, but when they bring calories down, their metabolism on the like lower end only adapts a little bit. So instead of in the first example with a thrifty person, where their metabolism slows down by 200, The spendthrift person, their metabolism might only slow down by 50 or 100 calories. So then that 500 calorie deficit that they're creating essentially actually ends up becoming close to a 500 calorie deficit because their metabolism doesn't slow down as much. It just a little bit compared to the thrifty person where it slows down a lot. Now, this spendthrift person adapts really well on the high end. So they might have one day where they do eat 2,300, 2,400 calories and their calorie burn might go all the way up to like 2,200 or 2,300. So the surplus that actually would have been like a 400 calorie surplus only ends up being like a 100 calorie surplus and they end up gaining a little bit less body fat from it. So just to kind of recap, because I know there's a lot of terms in there, thrifty, spendthrift, all of this stuff. The thrifty person, their metabolism will adapt really well to the low end, which is what we actually don't want. We don't want our metabolism to adapt when we bring calories down and go into a fat loss phase. But a thrifty person, it will pretty well. So that 500 calorie deficit that we're trying to create in a fat loss phase is actually a lot lower than what you think. It might actually be only a 250 calorie deficit or a 300 calorie deficit. So in order to achieve, let's say, a 1 pound of fat loss per week average, the thrifty person might have to bring their calories down quite a bit lower than what you would predict, like mathematically, to lose that amount of weight at that pace. But somebody with the spendthrift metabolism or metabolic phenotype, they don't have to bring their calories lower than predicted to lose that amount of weight because their metabolism doesn't adapt as much on the low end. But if they want to maybe intentionally gain weight because maybe they want to go through a muscle building phase and they really want to prioritize that, or maybe, you know, they're training for a specific purpose of wanting to maybe do their first pull up or get really strong on a squat or hip thrust. And in order to do that, they want to put on muscle. So they want to eat in a slight calorie surplus. They will have to maybe bring their calories up a lot higher than the person who's a thrifty person. So if you are somebody trying to lose fat, being in the thrifty category does propose some unique challenges. And if you are somebody who is trying to gain weight and you're in the spendthrift category, that's going to have some unique set of challenges too. So these are these two differences in metabolic phenotypes or categories that you might fall into, and they might make it harder or easier for you to gain or lose weight depending on where you fall into. Now, like, these categories are not obviously like a death sentence. Like, just because you are in the thrifty category and your metabolism adapts on the low end, it doesn't mean weight loss or fat loss is impossible for you. And just because you're somebody who maybe falls in the spendthrift category doesn't mean that weight gain is impossible for you either. It just means it might be a little bit more challenging for you to go in that direction if your goal is fat loss and you're a thrifty person, or it might be more difficult to go in the other direction and gain weight if you're somebody who is a spendthrift individual. Different strategies that we can maybe implement with this stuff too is we could potentially, for somebody whose metabolism adapts really well, so it slows down a lot when we go into a fat loss phase, this person, and this is just all kind of like theory, hypothesis on my end, not necessarily proven through research, but somebody whose metabolism adapts really well or adapts a lot when you bring calories down, they might benefit from having more of a get in and get out method when it comes to fat loss. And what I mean by that is having more diet breaks more frequently. So diet breaks, if you're not familiar with those, I implement those with my clients a lot, but those are planned periods where we bring calories up to maintenance to kind of give your body and your mind a little bit of a reset from a fat loss phase. So somebody whose metabolism adapts really well and slows down a lot when you bring calories down, you might benefit from having maybe a diet break every, let's say, 4 weeks instead of every 8 weeks. Compared to, you know, somebody whose metabolism doesn't adapt as much when you bring calories down. Or maybe it's every 3 weeks you have to have a diet break. Or these are just rough numbers, but comparing the two different categories, someone who's a thrifty person and their metabolism slows down a little bit more might benefit from having those diet breaks in so we can boost our metabolism back up a little bit, back up to maintenance before going back into a fat loss phase. Another strategy that you might want to implement if you feel like you're one of these quote unquote thrifty people is maybe just having more maintenance days in the actual week. So maybe instead of having like 4 weeks straight where you have this fat loss range of calories you're aiming for, and you do that 4 weeks straight, and then you have a diet break or a maintenance phase, instead of doing that, maybe you would benefit from having one or two maintenance days actually in the week. So let's say, you know, if you're burning 2,000 a day and your fat loss range calories is, let's say, 1,500, you would maybe have 5 days where you're eating 1,500 calories per day, and then 2 days where you're eating 2,000 calories per day. So you're purposely bringing your calories up to maintenance 2 out of the 5 days to kind of boost that metabolism back up, try to get it back adapted up to the higher part, since it does adapt really easy to the low end. That's another strategy. So these are a couple strategies that I implement with my clients, and why, like, everything is so individual. And when I'm coaching my clients, I'm really trying to take a look at how their body is specifically responding to, like, the amount of food that we have prescribed for them each day. And this is like these metabolic phenotypes. It's funny because I just started reading about these maybe a couple of months ago. But back from, you know, I've been coaching for years, I've noticed this specifically, that like there are some clients who their metabolism like responds or adapts a lot when we bring calories down, and we have to bring calories down lower than what we would expect to see their rate of fat loss that we would predict based off of how much they can eat and maintain their weight. And so it's really cool to kind of see the research start to highlight these things too. And then to put like these pieces together, these puzzle pieces of, okay, this is what the science is kind of showing about these different categories of how, you know, your metabolism might adapt to a fat loss phase. And then here are these practical strategies that I've implemented with myself and with clients, with the diet breaks and the maintenance phases and even the maintenance days inside of the given week. And putting all that together and, okay, like this is the phenotype or metabolic phenotype that this client looks like she has based on how her body's responding. So let's go ahead and implement this diet break every 4 weeks to kind of break out of that. Or let's go ahead and maybe Friday and Saturday on the weekend, have a couple of maintenance days in there to try to work around that adaptation that's taking place. So it's just very, very interesting and cool. And it's like this, it's like I'm a detective when I'm working with my clients and, you know, really examining how their body specifically is reacting. And these are things where like it's really hard to figure out unless you are really looking at all this data and looking at, you know, in detail how each person or your body is responding to these specific adjustments. It's really hard to figure out because you can't necessarily learn all of this in a textbook. You can learn about these theories and stuff online, obviously, and through research and everything, but to learn how to apply them with these strategies, like you have to be in the trenches doing it firsthand, which makes like the coaching process just so cool and so fun, in my opinion. It's like solving this puzzle and solving this equation of like what's gonna work the best for this person. And going back to those kind of strategies that I mentioned of like maybe trying a more get in and get out method when it comes to fat loss, implementing frequent diet breaks or maintenance phases if you are a thrifty person. Somebody who's a spendthrift, so just to recap, a spendthrift person is somebody who their metabolism doesn't really slow down that much on the low end. You might not have to implement many diet breaks or maintenance phases if you're one of those people. I have clients where some of them probably fall in the thrifty category where we need to have a couple of maintenance days in there every week. Or maybe we need to have a diet break in there every 6 weeks. But I have some clients, and I have one in particular that is popping in my head right now. And she had been in a fat loss phase for probably 12 weeks, pretty much straight without any like maintenance days sprinkled in there. And she was seeing consistent progress. Her fat loss wasn't slowing down at all. She was seeing a really steady loss on the scale each week. And she wasn't like, she didn't have a lot of weight to even really lose anyway. And I'm still working with her now, but like she would definitely fall in that category. And those types of people, like I said, they might not need as many diet breaks. They might not need as many maintenance phases through the fat loss process to get over those things because their metabolism just doesn't adapt, you know, too much. So just all really interesting. So I'm curious, you know, if you're listening to this or watching this, like let me know in the comments if you're watching live, like What phenotype do you feel like you might fall into, if you have any idea? And you know, this obviously isn't the only factor that impacts how many calories we burn or how successful we're going to be with fat loss. There are likely hundreds of pieces of this puzzle that really impact how successful somebody is going to be with long-term fat loss. Some examples, just to like throw out there, and this isn't even like a full list, are, you know, appetite regulation. Like some people feel just stronger hunger signals all the time versus others, and being able to manipulate that and manage that is a challenge for some. Also, the like neurophysiological response to food intake, which means basically you intake food, how are those signals being sent to the brain telling yourself to be full or telling yourself that you're satisfied, or maybe even like the dopamine response you get to certain foods that makes you want to overeat even though you actually are full. Like those are all individual too. Food selection obviously plays a big role. Like what foods are you actually eating? Are you eating highly processed, calorie dense foods, or are you eating whole foods that fill you up more? Satiety or the fullness response, satiety means fullness. Fullness response to exercise also plays a role in how much we eat in our body weight regulation. Some people, they actually feel like full after intense exercise and they don't really feel like eating for a couple of hours. And those people, they might be able to exercise and then their calorie intake just drops a little bit and they don't even have to really think about it. Other people might do intense exercise and they might feel ravenously hungry 20 minutes later. So how is your fullness response to exercise individual? Like that's going to play a role too. Also, just your energy burn or calorie burn in response to exercise. So this is another factor that can impact your fat loss and weight loss, which is when you go and let's say you have an intense workout for an hour, some people experience a big drop in the amount of calories they burn the rest of the day because they're tired, they're exhausted, they sit on the couch, and their body just slows down because they're like, oh, I exerted all this energy in this workout. And physiologically, your body just starts to slow some things down for the rest of the day. But others don't experience maybe as big of a drop in their calorie burn the rest of the day from intense exercise. So how does that individually impact you too? Also, like the individual aspects of how your metabolism slows down based on not just your calorie intake, but also how low of a body fat percentage are you? Somebody who is maybe 40% body fat and they're losing weight, they might experience less of their metabolism slowing down versus somebody who is maybe 20% body fat because they just have less body fat on their frame. So their body is getting those signals of, okay, I don't have that much body fat. You're also in a calorie deficit, losing more fat. Hey, we need to hold on to more fat, so we're going to slow everything down. Where somebody who's heavier might not experience that. So there's just so many variables that impact your success with fat loss and weight loss. And I didn't even talk about the like social impact, the psychological impact of food, the environmental impact of food, and all this stuff. So don't think that these thrifty and spendthrift categories are like the determining factor of if you're going to be successful or not. It's just one piece of the puzzle, but it is a really interesting one. So if you find that, you know, if you bring your calories down to a certain level based on how much you know you burn per day from tracking your intake at maintenance, knowing, oh, okay, if I eat this many calories per day for 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to maintain my weight. You bring your calories down and you should be losing around 1 pound on average per week, but you find it's a lot slower than that and you've been doing it consistently. It might be because you fall into, you know, the thrifty phenotype. And if you are somebody who experiences that, maybe trying to implement maybe some more maintenance days sprinkled in there, maybe some more diet breaks and things like that might be beneficial. So hopefully this was, you know, insightful and interesting for you. I've been really diving into this lately, so it's been really eye-opening for me, especially like as I try to find and really look at what metabolic phenotype I might be. It's just really cool, right? And also too, something to think about with this is your metabolic phenotype. It's not here's one category and here's another. There's likely a spectrum, right? Where some people fall on this side of the spectrum, some people fall on this side, but there's a sliding scale of how much your metabolism adapts. There aren't just, you know, two separate categories, but for research purposes, that's kind of how they divide it in into two categories because it's easier to like, you know, lump people in there and compare differences and things like that. So just keep that in mind too, that there is a sliding scale and there is no just two separate categories necessarily, but it is interesting. And if I were to kind of rate myself, I think I probably fall a little bit on the thrifty side, where gaining weight is pretty easy for me if I want to. Like, I can, for one, I have a big appetite naturally, so I can eat a lot of food. Number two, like, I just can kind of see once I go over a certain calorie number, like, the weight does, like, come on pretty consistently if I do. But when I go into a fat loss phase and I bring calories down, I actually have to bring calories down quite a bit lower than what I kind of want or what I would expect to see the expected weight loss based on how much I can eat and maintain my weight. So it's just kind of cool to like see this research come about, you know, really look at my own data and then look at my clients' data and see where they fall and implement these strategies. So yeah, hopefully this was helpful, insightful. So definitely let me know your thoughts. Definitely share this with you, with someone who you feel like would, you know, find it interesting. And I appreciate you all, and I will see you guys in the next one.